I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. This week, an exercise in shameless self-promotion. No, not self-promotion for me, but Fatima Cigarettes. Basil Rathbone had been a hit as Sherlock Holmes, and Fatima Cigarettes hired him to star in their series called The Tales of Fatima. Rathbone played a detective who was given clues in his cases by a mysterious, otherworldly female voice named Fatima, who sounded like she was speaking in an echo chamber. Not only was the name of the sponsor, Fatima Cigarettes, used as the name of the ghost, but Basil Rathbone also read the Fatima commercials, which displeased a lot of listeners. The show lasted less than a year. It was on CBS from January to October 1949. This episode, Time to Kill, first aired on May 28, 1949.
Hello there, this is Basil Rathbone. I'm so glad you can be with Fatima and me tonight. She helps me solve a surprising mystery that had in it several sounds of music. And several sounds of murder. Fatima, a new series of exciting mystery stories starring that distinguished actor, Mr. Basil Rathbone. Before we begin tonight's tale, I've got something to suggest. If you smoke a long cigarette, smoke the new long Fatima. You see, the name Fatima has stood for the best in cigarette quality for 30 years. And now the new Fatima is the best of long cigarettes. Ladies and gentlemen, if you smoke a long cigarette, smoke the best of long cigarettes. Smoke Fatima. Our author for tonight, Gail Ingram, has written a startling tale especially for me. I didn't know the solution until I recalled the words of Fatima. Now, if you listen well to those words, you may solve the mystery before I do.
Time is the essence. A fact misplaced in time conceals the truth.
Those words are the key to tonight's tale of Fatima. And here it is. Time to kill. Saturday night performance is over, and Basil Rathbone is leaving the theater accompanied by Oliver, his chauffeur. Got my bags, Oliver?
Yes, Mr. Rathbone. I got your bags.
And did you tell the stage manager I'd be in Westchester over the weekend?
Yes, boss.
Well, off for the weekend, Mr. Rathbone.
That's right, Bert. See you Monday.
Well, don't rush. Stay for a month, if you like.
The show's closed in 3 days.
Oliver.
Well, it would. What people come to see is Basil Rathbone, not his understudy.
Oliver. Bert Randall here is a very fine actor indeed.
Well, I like you better.
Frankly, Oliver, so do I. Cheerio, Mr. Randall.
Cheerio, dear boy. Oh, beautiful night for drive to Westchester.
Hey, somebody's shooting. And they're shooting at me. That one came close. Quick, Oliver, into the car.
Seems we've made our getaway, Oliver. Now I want to phone Lieutenant Farrell and report this outrage.
Basil.
Oliver, is your voice changing?
It's me, Basil, darling.
It was. There's a dame in the back seat.
Why don't you get in the back seat too, Basil, honey?
That's an enchanting invitation, I'm sure, but I make it a practice never to get into back seats with strange ladies.
But I'm Bunny.
Bunny?
Oh, now, Basil, sweetie, please, stop teasing. After those thrilling letters you've been sending to me all spring.
Just a moment. Letters I've been sending you?
Of course. To Chattanooga.
My dear young lady,
Bunny. The name is Bunny. You can't do this to me, Basil. I've run away from home on account of those letters you wrote me. I've left my husband.
Good heavens. Oliver, stop the car. Now, look here, madam. I never saw you before. I never wrote you. It's all a fantastic mistake. I suppose you just hop out of the car and run along back to your husband. There's a good girl.
All right, Basil. All right, sir, but you got no call to treat me like this. You got no call at all, and I won't let you get away with it. I'm warning you. You'll be sorry.
So that's why I phoned you, pal. It's been quite an eventful evening. First I got shot at, and then I got involved with a strange blonde.
Look, Grassbone, the blonde is your problem.
Oh, thanks awfully.
I'm only interested in the shooting.
Well, the gunman's a very poor shot, thank goodness. About five bullets, and they all missed me.
Well, it's pretty bad marksmanship. Have any idea who might have done it?
Of course not. Why should someone want to kill me?
Maybe they saw your show. Look, I'll investigate this thing. Meanwhile, you still going away for the weekend?
Well, I don't know now.
You go ahead. When people start shooting at you, I always say there's no better time to get out of town.
You may have a point there. All right, Carol, I'm on my way. If you want me, I'll be up in Westchester at the Wayside.
The what?
The Wayside. It's a small hotel.
What? This is a real nice hotel you made reservations for at. Hey, you want I should register?
No, thanks, Oliver. I'll do it myself.
Oh, can I help you, sir?
Yes, please. My name is Basil Rathbone. I have a reservation.
Oh, Mr. Rathbone, of course. Would you mind stepping into that telephone booth over there?
Well, I did have a larger suite in mind.
There's a long-distance call for you. New York. I'll have them switch it right over.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Hello?
Mr. Rathbone?
Yes?
Mr. Rathbone, you've got to come back to New York right away. You're the only person who can help me.
I am?
Yes. I'm at the Grace Hotel, room 714. Hurry, please, while there's still time.
Time for what?
To save me. I've been threatened, Mr. Rathbone. I'm going to be killed, and I... Oh, no.
No, what?
He's here, Mr. Rathbone. No, wait.
Hello. Hello, what's happening there?
It's already happened, Rathbone. Good night.
Hello. 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 New York Police Headquarters. Quick, send an officer to Grace Hotel, room 714. Someone has just been murdered. Come on, Oliver. We're going back to New York right away. Dial the car radio, will you, Oliver? There might be some news of the murder by now.
Oh, sure. That's a terrible thing, that murder. A terrible thing. Oh, news. You want I should look for a new point?
Oh, no, leave the music, Oliver. It's good to hear. Makes you forget bloodshed and murder.
Hey, what happened?
Ladies and gentlemen, an important announcement.
What's this, Oliver?
Basil Rathbone, noted stage, motion picture, and radio star, has just been discovered brutally murdered. We continue now with our regular program.
I just can't believe it, Sergeant. Rathbone's dead.
Yep, head bashed in with an iron plate.
I'm glad they took the body away before I saw it. Tell me, was he badly mangled?
Head smashed beyond recognition.
What? Beyond recognition? Well, then how do you know it was Rathbone?
Well, like I told you, Lieutenant, the hotel room was registered in his name. I found letters in the dead guy's pocket addressed to Basil Rathbone.
I just can't believe it. Rathbone gone. Somehow I just kind of expect him to walk in and say, "Hello, Farrell, need some help?"
Hello, Farrell, need some help?
Rathbone, what are you doing here?
I'm curious about my murder. Where am I stretched out? In the next room?
No, they took you to the morgue.
I mean, well, I didn't think you were killed. Did you rent this room?
Of course not.
Well, it's registered in your name. The dead guy was evidently pretending to be Basil Rathbone.
But why?
Wait a minute. Hold it. Yes?
Who is this?
Farrell, homicide. Who's this?
My name is Mrs. Lionel Kroll, and I... Oh, Did you say homicide?
That's right.
Then you've got to believe me. My husband didn't kill Mr. Rathbone.
He didn't?
No, please, you've got to believe me. My husband hardly knew Mr. Rathbone. He couldn't possibly have killed him. Please remember that. Goodbye.
What is that all about? The woman says her husband didn't kill you. Oh, how interesting. Why don't we ask her husband? His opinion.
Good idea. She said she was Mrs. Lionel Crawl. I'll have Crawl picked up right away.
Oh, Lieutenant Farrell, a call just came through from headquarters.
Hold that a minute, Sergeant. I want to send out a general alarm for a man by the name of Lionel Crawl.
And I don't think that'll be necessary, sir.
Oh, and just why don't you think that'll be necessary, sir?
Because they've just identified the dead man. His name is Lionel Crawl.
Mrs. Crowe's apartment must be at the top of this flight, Darrell.
Yeah. You know, this is really the kind of a job I hate, Rathbone. Telling a woman her husband's been murdered.
I know. By the way, have you sent out a denial of my death yet? After all, someone might just care.
Well, now, relax, relax. The early morning papers probably have the right story by now.
Good, well, ring the bell.
Sure, but I don't... Now, look, this is more up your alley. You tell Mrs. Crowe.
Yes?
Go ahead, Rathbone.
Rathbone? Did you say Rathbone?
Yes, I'm Basil Rathbone, Mrs. Crowe.
You killed him.
What?
You killed my husband.
Now, wait a minute, my dear lady.
They just called me and told me it's my husband that's dead. And you killed him.
Oh, now, look here. Why, I didn't even know your husband.
How can you stand there and say you didn't know Lionel Crowe?
Because I didn't know... Was he the Lionel Crowe who ran a correspondence course in dramatic art?
Of course.
Dramatic art? The Rathbone, those letters addressed to you, the ones in Crowe's pocket, they were about a dramatic course.
I remember now that a Lionel Crowe once came to ask me to endorse a course in dramatic art he was preparing, and I refused. That's the only time I ever met him.
The only time? You had a date with him tonight.
Tonight?
You called my husband and told him to meet you at the Great Hotel tonight. You said he...
What's the matter?
Look. Behind you. It's a hand.
Hand?
Yes. Poking over the banister of the stairs.
That won't duck. The hand's pointing a gun at you. Get down!
He must be. It's that bad marksman practicing again.
You stay here, Rathbone. I'm going after that guy.
Mr. Rathbone, what is it? What's happening?
I told you so. In fact, I'm only sure of one thing.
What?
I hope somebody catches that gunman before practice makes perfect.
We'll be back in just a moment with the second act of tonight's Tale of Fatima. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, Fatima is the long cigarette that's long on quality. You see, Fatima has all the advantages of a long cigarette. A cleaner, cooler, milder smoke. And in addition, Fatima has an advantage all its own. A really superb flavor. A different, better flavor, because Fatima is a blend of more expensive tobaccos. So if you smoke a long cigarette, smoke the best of long cigarettes. Smoke Fatima. Remember, Fatima is the long cigarette that's long on quality. Now, back to tonight's tale of Fatima, Time to Kill, starring Mr. Basil Rathbone.
What are you doing out here in the street?
It's fine if I'm the gentleman who took those pawn shots at me.
Well, don't. You just stay out of sight. Finding that guy is my business.
Well, how's business?
Rotten.
If I could just figure out why someone is trying to kill me.
And while you're at it, figure out why Crowe was pretending to be you.
Maybe the answer to that lies in a closer investigation of Mr. Crowe's affairs.
How do you mean?
Well, that correspondence course in dramatics he was connected with. I'd like to look into that.
Well, I suppose we could check his office.
And suppose we do.
Here's the office, Rathbone. Lionel Crowe, dramatic instruction.
Now, look. The lock on the door has been broken.
Open the door.
Right. Look. There's a light on. The inner office.
Come on.
Now.
Oh,
right, sister, come out from behind that desk.
Good heavens. It's Bunny.
It's who?
Bunny. The woman who was hiding in my car.
All right, Bunny. What's the rest of your name and what are you doing here?
Durkin, letters.
What?
My name is Durkin and I'm here to get those letters I wrote you, Mr. Apple. I mean that I thought I wrote you.
And what makes you think you'll find your letters here in Kroll's office?
Well, I just read in the early morning papers that it wasn't you that was killed, but Mr. Kroll. So I figured out that Mr. Kroll must have been pretending to be you.
What's that got to do with the letters?
Well, don't you see? I found them here in Mr. Kroll's desk. I must have been writing to him, not you. But I thought it was you. I addressed the letters to Basil Rathbone at a post office box number in New York, and you answered them. I mean, I guess Mr. Kroll answered them in your name. Just like he taught the dramatic course in your name.
Oh, now, just a minute. Let's start at the beginning. What dramatic course?
Why, the most expensive dramatic correspondence course in America. It cost a lot because the mimeograph lessons were sent straight from Basil Rathbone himself.
How interesting.
And if a student had a special question, she could get it answered personally by Basil Rathbone.
Oh, you don't say.
For more money. And then I took a special postgraduate course, and that cost even more money.
This Kroll chap seems to have made more money out of Basil Rathbone than I have.
That's how I got to writing kind of personal letters to Basil Rathbone. And now I've just got to get those letters back. If they came out in this murder investigation so my husband knew about them, why, I declare he'd just kill little old me.
What we want to know is, who killed little old Kroll? You know?
Me? Why, Mr. Rathbone, you're just teasing me, aren't you?
Sure. Come on down to headquarters and he'll tease you some more. Meanwhile, I'm booking you as a material witness in the murder of Lionel Kroll. Said, go away. Oh, blast. Hello.
Mr. Rathbone, this is Bert Randall. I'm sorry to have to call you this early in the morning.
Early? It's crack of dawn.
Well, not really.
Yes, really. I just heard it crack.
Yes, but Mr. Rathbone, this is important.
What is?
Well, I just came over here to the theater to get some clothes in my dressing room, and I saw a man sneak out of your dressing room. After that shooting episode, I thought I'd better tell you.
You think he's the man who did the shooting?
I don't know. He looked dangerous. I thought you might like to investigate.
I never like to investigate men who look dangerous, but I think I'd better. I'll be right over. Theater certainly is dark, Bert. Any signs of our prowler?
I don't see him on stage.
Suppose you take a look upstairs in the dressing rooms. I'll search the wings.
Right. Shout if you need me.
Oh, I most certainly will. Hello? Anyone here? Hello?
Hello.
Who are you?
Can't you guess?
I guess you were the gentleman who's been using me for target practice.
You guess right. And I still got my gun. By the way, I've never been much good at long range, but I'm mighty good close up. And I'm close up now.
Well, look here. Why are you trying to kill me? I mean, I don't even know who you are.
My name's Sam Durkin.
Durkin? Oh, you're Bunny's husband.
By the time you realize Bunny had a husband, Bunny doesn't know it, but I saw those love letters you wrote her. You trifled with her affections. And where I come from, that's reason enough to kill a man. And that's what I'm going to do. Now.
Now, Mr. Durkin.
Stand still, Rathbone.
But you see, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not Rathbone.
What do you mean?
Well, didn't you hear the radio? Basil Rathbone's dead. He was brutally murdered.
Who are you?
Me? Oh, I'm his understudy.
You look like Rathbone.
Yes. People have often commented on how much I look like Basil Rathbone. They say the resemblance is uncanny.
But you say Rathbone's dead?
That's right. He's lying in the funeral parlor right now. Terrible thing.
Great loss to the theater.
That's no loss to anyone. He trifled with my wife.
Oh, I can't believe that, Basil. He wasn't that type of chap at all.
You're his understudy?
That's right.
You're his understudy. Guess he got no call to kill you.
No call at all.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's quite all right, old man. Now, if you'll just excuse me.
I didn't see anyone upstairs, but I... Good heavens, that's the man, Mr. Rathbone.
Oh, you stupid bonehead.
Oh, you are Basil Rathbone.
Yes, he's Basil Rathbone.
Who are you?
I'm Mr. Rathbone's understudy. Who are you?
I'm the man who's going to shoot Mr. Rathbone right now.
Oh, no, you don't. I've got him, Bert. Get his gun.
I've got it. He must be the man who was shooting at you before.
Yes, but I don't think I'm going to give him any more practice. I think I'll turn him over to Farrell right away.
Right, Durkin. Suppose you start answering questions.
Well, I only tried to kill Rathbone here. He trifled with my wife's affection.
For the last time, Durkin, Kroll trifled with your wife's affection.
You really ought to know that, Durkin, considering you killed Kroll.
I didn't kill Kroll.
And I suppose you have an alibi for 120 last night.
120? Well, let me see. Well, at 1:20, I was at a bar called the Green Turtle. You can ask the bartender there.
Okay, Sergeant. Lock him up and check his story and get back to me.
Right. Come on, you.
This is an outrage.
Oh, sure, it's an outrage, but come on.
But I got an alibi.
Everybody's got an alibi.
What do you mean?
I just let Bunny Durkin go. She proved she was at the movies with another woman last night at 1:20. Mrs. Crow was with friends at home.
Well, then, who could... Farrell. What about Bert?
Bert Randall, your understudy?
That's right. After all, he was the one who got me down to the theater today, and it's Durkin's hands. Might have been just chance, but it might have been planned that way.
No, you can forget Randall, Rathbone. He's got the perfect alibi. He was visiting a friend way across town from the Grace Hotel at about 1:25. According to you, the murder was committed at 1:20 while you listened. Randall couldn't possibly have killed Cole and gotten across town in 5 minutes.
Well, is the friend absolutely sure of the time Bert showed up at his place?
Absolutely.
How do you know?
I was the friend.
I still don't understand, Farrell. Why was Bert Randall visiting you?
He just happened to drop into headquarters. He wanted to know if I had any news on the guy who shot at you as you left the theater last night. He was worried about you.
Oh. Farrell, this is ridiculous. Someone must have committed the crime at 1:20.
Look, are you sure the crime was committed at 1:20?
I glanced at my watch as I hung up the phone. I suppose I could have misread it, but I doubt it.
So do I.
Wait. The Grace Hotel operator would have a record of the call to me at Westchester, and she might have noted the exact time. We could check.
Hey, we sure could. Come on.
Hotel. Yes, madam. One moment, please.
Excuse me, operator.
Yeah?
Maybe see your long-distance time sheet for last night, please.
Well, I... Hey! You're Basil Rathbone.
Yes, quite.
Settles it. I had a fight with my girlfriend. She said you were dead, and I said it was a mistake. So I'm right, huh?
Yes, you're right.
Boy, am I glad.
Thank you.
Sure. Now she owes me a dollar.
Miss, please, may we see the long-distance timesheet for last night?
Well, that woman over there just asked for it, too. I told her I couldn't give it out, but since you're a cop...
Now, look. Over there, it's Mrs. Crow.
You check the timesheet, Rathbone. I'm going to talk to that lady.
All right.
Good evening, Mrs. Crow.
Good evening, Lieutenant.
I understand you're interested in the telephone operator's timesheet.
I have a right to investigate the murder.
Oh, don't you like the way the police are doing it?
You think my husband was using Mr. Rathbone's name illegally? He wasn't. He had a legitimate dramatic school business and he was brave.
Farrell, find out something, Rathbone.
Plenty. According to that timesheet there, there's no record of any call from the hotel to Westchester last night.
The lights. They've gone out.
All right, everybody stay where you are. Stay where you are.
Somebody scream.
Put on the light, somebody. Put on the light. There.
That's better. Now watch that switch, Rathbone, so nobody touches it again.
Right. All right, now. All right.
Nobody leave this lobby till we get to the bottom of this.
Rathbone, where's that timesheet?
Somebody took it, Sullivan, when the lights went out.
All right. Whoever took it, hand it over.
You heard what the lieutenant said, Mrs. Crowell. Hand it over.
I was just going to, Mr. Rathbone. Here, Lieutenant. I took it when the lights went out. It was lying on the desk, and I didn't want anybody to steal it.
That's a likely story. Who screamed?
I did. I felt someone trying to tear the timesheet out of my hand.
Oh, now, look, would somebody please tell me what's so important about this timesheet?
Very good question, Fennel. Why should anyone want to conceal the fact... Good heavens. Of course. Of course.
In the words of Fatima, time is the essence. The fact is placed in time conceals the truth.
Why didn't I think of that before? Ladies and gentlemen, those words of Fatima that I just recalled will help me solve tonight's mystery. Time is the essence. A fact misplaced in time conceals the truth. Now, can you guess who killed Lionel Crowell? Well, just light up your Fatimas and enjoy yourselves. You like smoking the new long Fatima cigarette. You see, Fatima has all the advantages of a long cigarette. A cleaner, cooler, milder smoke. And in addition, Fatima has a really superb flavor. A different, better flavor. You see, Fatima is a blend of more expensive tobaccos. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you smoke a long cigarette, smoke the best of long cigarettes. Smoke Fatima. It's the long cigarette that's long on quality.
Now, back to Mr. Basil Rathbone for the exciting conclusion of tonight's Tale of Fatima.
Why didn't you think of what before, Rathbone?
At all. There's no call made from the Great Hotel to me at 1:20.
But you got a phone call at 1:20?
Exactly, but it didn't come from here. So it couldn't have come at the actual time of the murder because the murder was committed here.
Well, then what did you hear over the phone?
A reconstruction of the crime, Farrell. An act. By an actor.
You mean Burt Randall?
Exactly. Quite some time after he killed Crowley, phoned me and reenacted the killing, calling from a booth right near headquarters.
But why?
So he could rush right in to see Farrell and establish a perfect alibi.
Oh.
But, of course, to make it stick, he had to destroy the timesheet.
No, you can't make that stick, Rathbone. Randall wasn't here just now when the timesheet was swiped.
He must be here. I suggest you look in the only possible hiding place, behind that switchboard.
What? No, Rathbone, you're nuts.
No, he's not, Lieutenant.
Randall. All right. What's the story?
Well, that's easy, Farrell. He was conducting the dramatic course using my name, not Crowell. He merely copied Crowell's mimeographed lessons.
I told you my husband had an honest business. He had nothing to do with this.
He had one thing to do with it, Mrs. Crowell. He found out Randall was stealing his lessons, so Randall lured him to the hotel here and killed him to keep him quiet.
I get it. And then planted the letters and papers on him so it would seem Crowell was conducting the racket. Are you going to deny that, Randall?
No, Lieutenant. I'm an actor. I know an exit cue when I hear one. Shall we go?
Mr. Rathbone, I just wanted to remind you the name is still Bunny, in case you might want to look me up sometime.
Look you up?
Uh-huh. How's about hopping the Chattanooga choo-choo?
Well, I'd like to, dear girl, but I've already booked passage on a slow boat to China.
Again next week when we'll have another exciting tale of Fatima. Right, Mr. Rathbone?
Yes, indeed. Fatima helps me solve an amazing tale that began when a door opened and reached its climax when a killer closed the door and laughed. be with me then, won't you? Good night.
From May 28, 1949, Basil Rathbone in Time to Kill, an episode of Tales of Fatima. If there are old-time radio programs you remember and would like to hear again, drop me a line at dan@radiofun.info. Thanks for listening. In the Old Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.